You're listening to The Green Flag with your hosts, Lucas Wacker and Kyle Cushman.
Daytona 500. It's here. The weekend after months and months of waiting. It really doesn't feel like it's been that long, to be honest. But we did our preseason preview and our predictions earlier this week. But we got to tee up the main event, the crown jewel, the biggest race of the season. Daytona 500 is a couple of days away. We're recording this on Friday afternoon. So looking forward to what the race has in store. The duels happened last night. So we know everybody who's racing in the Daytona 500 on Sunday.
Even though we haven't had any practice sessions yet.
No, we haven't had any practice sessions. And that was a big talking point, obviously.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Total sense. And then you watch and Chandler Smith doesn't know how to get the car started and they have a whole bunch of fire mechanical problems. First guy, like, you couldn't have written it any better. I wonder if Colley just did that on purpose, like, just to
based on the fact they missed
known.
The show. I don't think they did.
Well, that was driver error because Chandler Smith's not in the Daytona 500 after speeding on pit road and that took him out of contention. But we'll talk about that just a little bit later on. We're bringing back the draft, ladies and gentlemen. Kyle and I, five picks each. Who are we going to be picking for the top 10 spots? Who we think are going to perform the best? The top 10 in the Daytona 500 is basically what we're hoping for, or at least the top 10
well,
point scores.
I'm hoping for the top five, and I hope you get the bottom five.
Well, I honestly will. If we could manage to get the top 10 correct, no matter what,
that'd be insane.
That would be incredible. That's lottery ticket kind of stuff. Like, you got to go and buy everything that you can to see how your luck is. But inevitably, we will probably have the bottom 10 positions because they'll all wreck out in the same one. So that should be fun a little bit later. And then we'll just, of course, make our winner picks for the weekend, who we think is going to win the Xfinity race and the Cup race.
Do we have to pick winners?
Yes.
I don't want to.
Yes. Yes, we do. We're not going to make a truck one, I guess, because this show won't be out by the time the truck series will be up. So for that
congratulations
sake,
to insert driver name here for winning.
Post-edit, we will do a voiceover for that.
Travis Pastrana, congratulations.
Congratulations to Corey LaJoy.
Okay. Yeah, I like that poll. I'd love to see like Roger Carruth or something. I don't know. There's a lot of fun drivers in the truck series.
So. Yeah, there is. So that kicks off tonight. But before we get into any of that, I got to ask you, how are you doing today, Kyle?
Sorry, I interrupted you like 15 times during your preamble. Which
I kind of guess I know how you feel.
I kind of do.
Let everybody else know.
Get you off the rails. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm doing great.
He's chatty today, guys. He's chatty.
It's Speed Week. It's Daytona
Speed
500.
Week, right?
I know. Yeah,
like,
I said
instead
it.
Instead of Speed
I said
Weeks
it.
On the logo that happened. Like, I don't understand that concept anymore.
Well, it's not
anymore.
Even a full week anymore. So
yeah.
Let alone multiple.
Daytona,
but no,
Wednesday
I'm doing
to Sunday.
Great. I'm really looking forward to all of the on-track action this week from as terrible as it is to say the ARCA race all the way through because points racing is back. And man, it feels good. I cannot wait for this season for a whole bunch of different reasons. But I'm really excited to be previewing the 500 here today and get the ball rolling.
Before we get into previewing the 500, we did have a little bit of news come out this week.
A fair bit of news this week.
Getting silly season, basically slamming that door shut before the first race of the year.
It's a good thing we didn't do any preseason predictions or else they'd all be
up
the window.
I predict Ross Chastain to take over the four. That ain't happening because Trackhouse is extending not only the Melon Man himself, Ross Chastain, to a multi-year extension. They've also done it for their other driver, Daniel Suarez, to a multi-year extension. As well. So Trackhouse has found their duo. Seems like that's going to be their future. We'll see if they expand in the future, but for right now they've got two cars and they've got two drivers that they feel comfortable with that can go out there and win races and championships. And if last year was any indication, you can expect them to hopefully try and take a next step forward in winning more races. The speed was there, the execution wasn't quite there on some days, but they've got some contract extensions for both of them. And also Alex Bowman has signed a long-term contract extension until the end of 2026. Ally will be staying with Hendrick Motorsports until at least 2028. So that quartet that they've got over there at Hendrick Motorsports is at least signed until the end of 2025 because they did, I think, Byron and who did they do Larson last year? Was that the other one?
I can't remember.
everybody signed.
What order it was, but yeah, but yeah,
they're all there. Hendricks found their four drivers, so not a lot of names.
Sorry to interrupt, but Larson's extension was September, so yeah.
Okay, perfect. And so that means not a lot of names that are out there for potential movement, at least that are at the Cup Series level currently. Could there be some guys coming up from the Xfinity Series or even Truck Series? Absolutely. But for Cup Series guys, it seems like a lot of the main guys are at least tied up to contract extensions. The one being Denny Hamlin, but that will get done. So there's no reason to think that he will be leaving term. Who knows? He's 42 years old. How long does he want to keep racing
for?
We've
never seen a JGR mainstay leave their team after weird circumstances, right?
It's a sensitive topic.
That's never happened.
But your thoughts, Kyle, because I'm not going to address that.
sorry, I had to.
Of Chastain, Suarez, and Bowman all getting extensions before the Daytona 500 green flag even drops.
So I think this is a case-by-case basis where I think the easiest slam dunk decision of the three is Ross Chastain getting a multi-year deal with Trackhouse. Just based off of his performance last year, I think it makes a lot of sense for Chastain to sign an agreement if his numbers potentially dip off after finishing runner-up in the championship in his first year at that team. And it also makes sense for Trackhouse to lock him into a long-term contract if he does continue this meteoric rise and becomes a bigger star, bigger name in the sport, and continues to win races. I think this is a deal where it's a win-win, where Chastain kind of guarantees himself some security, guarantees himself a decent number, I would imagine, and Trackhouse locks in essentially their franchise player into a multi-year agreement. On the Daniel Suarez side, obviously it wasn't as good of a season last year for Suarez versus Chastain. Obviously, in our preseason predictions, we both had him missing the playoffs. But even taking into account all of that, I think this is not as much of a slam dunk decision for Trackhouse, but pretty damn close, because Daniel Suarez is a very solid driver. But more importantly for that, I think Daniel Suarez ticks a lot of boxes in what Trackhouse is looking to do in the sport in terms of having those connections with Pitbull and being able to hit that different demographic as somebody that is in NASCAR and isn't American. And in terms of full-time drivers, there's one of those guys, and it's Daniel Suarez. From that marketability in terms of not just hitting a different demographic in the States, but in the worldwide stuff that Trackhouse is wanting to do. Obviously with Trackhouse having the Project 91 and stuff, having an international driver as part of their full-time team, I think really helps things. So for being the guy that was the day one driver at Trackhouse, locking him into that agreement after he won last year, he's still absolutely a fringe playoff guy. If he can get a win, maybe if there's less winners, he can point his way in that kind of stuff. I think Daniel Suarez is a perfect fit at Trackhouse, given everything that they want to do as a team. So I think locking in those two drivers as their main duo makes a lot of sense. I hope we see Trackhouse expand to a third full-time car in the next couple of years, because I think that's trending towards the ideal number for a lot of these teams, having the three-car organizations. So we'll see if anything like that comes down the road. But for those two, really like that decision. In terms of Hendrick Motorsports and locking up Alex Bowman, that's a decision that I think a lot of us knew was coming. The term was a little bit surprising to me, seeing the 3 years attached to it instead of 1 or 2 years. But Alex Bowman, for being the fourth guy on the totem pole, all things considered, at Hendrick Motorsports, it's a pretty damn solid number four to have in your stable. And if you're Hendrick Motorsports and you know your big two dogs, you have an up-and-coming guy in William Byron, you hope to reach that upper echelon. Having a guy like Alex Bowman who can be solid throughout the season, go out and pick up a few wins here and there in certain circumstances, which he's been able to go out, put himself in those situations, and then be clutch in those moments. Do we think Alex Bowman's going to be a championship guy? Probably not. Do I think that Blake Harris is a potentially very, very good crew chief and we might see some more speed out of them? I also do think that, though. And we'll see what that combination brings in the next couple of years. But for Alex Bowman, it's nice to see him get that extension, have that security, don't have that hanging over your head all season long. for Hendrick Motorsports. They've been very vocal about how much they like this driver lineup over the last handful of years, and they've committed to it in terms of money and term. So no changes at Hendrick in the foreseeable future.
No, and that, what does that mean for potential development drivers? You know, you look at
don't really have any, though.
Would you look at like someone like Sam Mayer? Like, that's what I mean. Like Chevrolet, the junior motorsports, that's the Hendrick pipeline. Right?
Like, there's Chevy development drivers, but there isn't Hendrick development drivers. So that's why I'm not as concerned about it as I would be if it was like a Stuart Haas Racing, for example, had this like
it's under the same name.
And it's literally the same organization. It's not quite the same thing. And as we see different Chevy teams step up the grid, whether it's a track house, whether it's a colleague that has promise, there's a bunch of different teams that these drivers can go to. I also don't really think, without like looking per se, there's any like unattached to Cup Series Chevy driver that is like really knocking on the door. Cause I think we'd probably have to see another season and a half out of Sam Mayer performing at like the top level before he would like
at least
be knocking on the door of that kind of opportunity, which is a longer timeline than I expected. But if you look at like a Chandler Smith, he's got that direct connection to colleague. So if he's going up to the Cup Series, it's probably going to be with the team that he's already with. So all things considered there, I think it makes a lot of sense. The 3-year term is maybe a bit rich for me. I would have looked for like a 2-year extension, because that's more along the timeline of a Sam Mayer if he's figuring things out or readjusting to see what Bowman does in the next couple of years. But yeah, I think it's hard to dislike any of these three moves.
No, I agree. They just seem like they fit the mold there. You know, Bowman had one win last year at Vegas, down from his 4 wins the year prior. But with the new crew chief, everyone's stats were down as well. And with a new crew chief, I mean, he's a 10th and a half faster than anybody in single car qualifying at Daytona. So clearly he knows how to set up a car to go fast. We'll see if they can get the longevity out of it and handling out of it for the 500. For sure. But then with the rest of the season, Bowman can be very hit or miss on certain tracks. But if they can hit a little bit more often than not than they did last year, I could see him, you know, getting multiple wins this year if he's put himself in the right position. And he's the kind of guy that just goes under the radar in those kind of situations where he capitalizes on other people's mistakes sometimes.
If it's a late race restart.
Never. No, he's like the new closer, if you will, for like what Kevin Harvick was for a long time. Never really dominated a race, but put himself in a position there later on in the event, and ended up getting some wins out of it. So we'll see if Bowman can do that this year. Chastain and Suarez, not surprised whatsoever. It felt like it was going to be an extreme long shot for either of them to jump ship. Yeah. And, you know, you can never get rid of it. After what happened at Martinsville last year, not re-signing Ross Chastain would have been a huge blemish on Trackhouse's part. So you got a guy that has gone viral, is going to bring in clearly a lot of sponsorship too with Suarez. They seem like they're a very well-funded sponsorship organization right now, which is very good for a startup team. So I'm pumped. I'm excited to see what they can do this year. Cause when you look at the obviously different generation of car from their first year to the second year, but the leap that they took from their 2021 season to 2022, I mean, the sky's the limit here for 2023, if you really want to look at it for them. So very excited to see what the Chevrolet camp can do with Suarez, Chastain, and Bowman. And that leaves not many guys left that could go out there, and everyone's looking at that 4 car for Stuart Haas. Who knows what they're going to do for that seat, but definitely the main vacancy that we're looking at for 2024, and who knows how long that will take to get filled up. So I think we can move on to the duels. Just quickly, who's into the 500?
And we can move on from the duels.
Basically. But qualifying, no surprise. Hendrick Motorsports locked out the front row. A reverse of last year.
Just Alex Bowman. Quickly on qualifying, it was intriguing to see the pickup from Ford kind of overall. Looking at the numbers from last year's qualifying to this year's qualifying, Ford pretty consistently across the board, especially with the top teams, picked up quite a bit, especially Stuart Haas. Like I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I think Chase Briscoe picked up like almost half a second in qualifying, which goes to a lot of the talk about body parts and noses and stuff like that. And
exactly.
Which teams would have more drag and stuff like that. And a lot of the talk was Ford being the team to beat this upcoming weekend. Obviously, they've got back-to-back Daytona 500, so that helps to the storyline. Yeah. Ford looked a lot better in terms of single car speed. We'll see if that translates to being a very solid team in packs and in the final
duels.
Race. But I was about to say, looking pretty good out front there.
Yeah, they're pretty stout. I always think Ford is a favorite when we come to the super speedways.
They've also got a very good super speedway racing lineup. Like, it's not just the cars have speed. Stacked. They've got arguably the best lineup of drivers.
You can figure the top five. Easy.
Yeah.
So I always personally just look to them for our fantasy lineup. So we will tee that up a little bit later. Yep. But Jimmy Johnson and Travis Pastrana made it on speed.
Yeah.
Awesome story. Fun. That was very cool. I mean, I've never seen Jimmy Johnson that nervous. He was so open about it. I'm so used to Jimmy Johnson being like the stone cold kind of like, nothing can beat me, nothing can faze me. And here, I mean, he was like genuinely nervous. And I mean, it's understandable. And then Travis Pastrana is just like a giddy kid that's just like so hyper and jacked up on Mountain Dew, really. Like
the most likable person in motorsports, Travis Pastrana.
So, such a great guy. And I couldn't be happier for him. Yeah. And for those two cars to make it in on speed and not have to worry about the duels. Fantastic, especially when you look at what happened to Pastrana in the duel, getting wrecked out there. So that could have been heartbreaking pretty quickly for him. But glad we have a Legacy Motor Club entry and a 2311 car joining the field as well. So you got some pretty stacked guys. And then, as I alluded to, reverse of the front row from last year, Bowman on pole, Kyle Larson in second. So good qualifying. Would have loved to have had practice beforehand just for them to shake down their cars, but I'm sure that will be added next year, given the feedback that they all got this year. Fingers crossed, knock on wood, anything you want to do to make sure that happens. But practice will be happening later on today as we're recording this. So get some experience in the draft during the daytime and see how that kind of plays into a factor. And we have one guy already going to a backup car because Kyle Busch got wrecked up last night in the duel.
Is there anyone else from that wreck going to a backup car?
I haven't seen anything
yet. Obviously,
Riley Herbst
is
trying to
the obvious
repair
one,
the 15. I think they're trying to repair that, but anything I've seen from so far is Kyle's confirmed going to a backup car. After taking a very hard hit into the outside wall and not off to a great start for his speed week. So unfortunate there for him, but he'll be starting from the rear on Sunday. So have plenty of time to make up 500 miles to get to the front if he needs to go out there and win his first Daytona 500 trophy. And then for the guys that made it in through the duels, Zane Smith, the defending Truck Series champion. I didn't know this. I don't think many people did. The stat that NASCAR posted, the first time that the defending Cup, Xfinity, and Truck champions will be all in the next year's Daytona 500.
Wow, that's cool.
Very cool kind of stat there. Good on them for finding that out and
putting
together
pull.
Something like that. And so Zane Smith in the 36 for front row has made the 500. Chandler Smith, on the other hand, sped on pit road during the green flag pit cycle. And he was a lap down, never had a caution in the first duel. So he never had a chance to at least contend for fighting for a spot. So unfortunate for him and colleague racing, because obviously they brought a third car down there to try and hope that they could have three, which is colleague has always been very good in the super speedway. So that's
I don't know if you heard this tidbit when Chandler Smith lost the draft after having to go back down pit road for his penalty. Apparently their single car speed without like any draft just on their own would have had them second in qualifying.
Really?
So that's a bit of a tough blow.
I didn't hear that. My God.
That was a tidbit on, I believe, the teardown I was listening to last night, where Chris Rice radioed into old Brett Griffin on the spotter stand and was like, so I got some good news and bad news. And yeah, apparently they would have been like very good in on speed had it not been for their car not working in qualifying. So that's a bit of a tough blow there.
That is a shame. Damn, that's heartbreaking to know that. Mm. Oh, God, I can't imagine that as the driver or the team just putting in that much effort over the offseason to try and get a third car ready. Clearly, they put a lot of single car speed into it.
And the only saving grace to it is that it's not like their only third car entry this season. There's going to be a couple other races that Smith is going to do.
Yeah.
Which I'm excited to see how he does, because I've been a big fan of his for a while. So
Yeah. Everything happens for a reason, as he says. So we will see if that is indeed the case. Connor Daly for the money team for the second consecutive year. The bouncy ball has made the Daytona 500. Unfortunately for Austin Hill, wrong place, wrong time, after getting caught up in the Kyle Busch crash, had to send him to the garage, and he had no shot. Would have been easily into the 500 if not for that. But Connor Daly, what was he, like two laps down at the end of it, after having to deal with the bouncing problems that they had? Yeah. Tough for Austin Hill, because he's a super good super speedway racer, and that's a real shame that he's not in the 500 either. So that's probably the one area where you're like, damn, we lost a good car there compared
we lost a good car, but arguably got a better story out of it.
True
and just having Connor Daly in there. I don't know the last time that a driver raced in the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500 in the same year. Obviously Kurt Busch, but I don't know if there's any Indy guys that have done it since. But anyways, that's a pretty cool story, assuming obviously, if we get under 33 cars and Daly's into the Indy 500, or if he qualifies his way in, which, given his history at the 500, I don't think he'd have too much trouble with, but
no, he's very good there. Very, very good. I didn't know that Tony Yeary Sr. was the crew chief for the 50 car this weekend either.
They've got I believe he was the crew chief last year too.
Dynamic there, but I'm sure they'll have it at least a little bit better on the bump stops for Sunday.
Well, I don't know. Apparently time they start up the car, there's a different issue. So
yeah, it seems like they've got a lot of gremlins in that 50 car, but cool story there. So that's it. The four guys that were the open entries that make it: Connor Daly, Zane Smith, Travis Pastrana, and of course, Jimmy Johnson, all make it into the Daytona 500. So be interesting to see. Of course, Eric Almirola won the second duel. Joey Logano won the first one. No RFK sweep this time around, but the Fords did look very, very strong. Mm-hmm. And Keselowski, we'll see if that...
pushing as always.
Good Lord. I wonder where the big one's going to start.
Just quickly, very impressed by Todd Gilliland and his pushing ability.
Great save too.
Getting Cindric out there. Yep. Great save as well. I think he's a underrated super speedway guy from what I saw in like the truck series. He was always up at the front, got a little bit too aggressive at times and gotten wrecks. If he can rein that in a little bit, I think he could be a really solid guy there, because Front Row Motorsports, let's not forget, that's a very good super speedway team with Michael McDowell there, in terms of consistently being at the front and helping out the rest of that Ford mix. And hey, maybe the super speedway racing is in the blood there. So
I'm kind of missing David Reagan. I feel like he's always been the front row guy there, but he's not this year.
He's always been the 36 guy. So yeah, it's Zane Smith's turn.
Miss you, David. But
do you really? No,
I do. I've got sentimental reasons for David Reagan. He drove Kyle's car in 2015, and he signed my hat.
Fair enough.
So
fair enough. There you go.
I've always liked David. It's such a weird choice that they picked him back then, but and you look back at it. But
what's weirder, that or the Matt Crafton race?
Short notice, I can understand it. Okay. The story on why they picked him, though, like he's already back in North Carolina there when they got the call, so questionable. But they didn't really have any other Toyota guys there, I guess. So figured they put Matt Crafton in. Anyways.
That was random. Anyways.
The duel's done. Fun fact, or quick little tidbit here. The last time someone won a duel and the Daytona 500 in the same year, can you name it?
That's a good question. I don't think I can.
It's in the time. It's older than a decade.
My initial instinct, because I'm going to the Bud Shootout Days as Dale Jr.
Incorrect.
Okay, who?
Matt Kenseth in 2012.
Okay, okay. Yeah. Okay, I wouldn't have had a Matt Kenseth call for that, but...
So fast. Yeah. But I was very surprised that that's the case. So what year
is that then?
2012.
Is that, wow, 2012.
So just over a decade. Jeez. That's pretty crazy to think about. Like, you've had a lot of dual wins for, like, you know, even the years that Hamlin won a duel, he didn't win the 500 that year. Mm-hmm. So
I was tempted to say Hamlin, but I was trying to think, and I didn't think they ever came together. So
no, Junior was close. He won the 500 in 14, but then won a duel in 15. So, like, you know, he's right around it. There are some guys, but just 1 year off.
Quickly on the
so...
fact that the 2012 Daytona 500 is 11 years ago now, that hurts a little bit.
Yeah.
Because when you said over a decade ago, my mind went to, like, oh, what happened in, like, 2005? And I was like, oh, nope.
Yeah.
The jet dryer was 11 years ago. Oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy how time flies. We're old. We are old. We've missed our window to make it to the Cup Series. So that's unfortunate. iRacing still giving us a good shout. anyways, let's get into the draft, Kyle, because you did end up winning the draft last year. I won the fantasy league. We will be doing that again this year. So we'll see if I can
get both worlds.
You know, just a bit more luck on
it
this side
gone back
of things
and
with
forward,
the draft.
The winner of the fantasy league. So
we have. So is this isn't the rubber year. This is the fourth
it's
year
the,
that we're doing
it's
this.
It's the year of the Cushman. So.
Oh, year of the Cushman. Right.
Yeah. Well, the odd number years I win, the even numbered years you win. So
I'll take even number years, I guess, but hopefully I can get a little bit more luck in the drafts. That's all I'll say. Okay. But
we'll see how she goes. We'll see how she goes.
You get,
I get the choice.
You get the choice. Yeah. Do you want to take the first overall pick or get the 2-3 wrap around?
This is a tough one.
We did one super speedway draft last year and it was kind of crazy.
Tell me about it. I will take the 2-3 wrap.
That sucks. I really wanted the 2-3 wrap. Because
I
this.
Think there's three guys that I for sure want.
Yeah, and you
and
can
I'm
get
okay
two
taking
of them.
The 2-3 wrap to guarantee myself two of them.
Yeah. Dang it. All
so
right.
I really hope you don't take the guy that I want first overall.
Okay. Well, I have a guy that I've had written down and penciled in as my number one for like the whole week. And it's Ryan Blaney. I will
you
be taking first
ass.
Overall. Yeah. He's so good. He's come so close the past 3 years to winning this race that you feel like it's bound to happen at some point. He puts himself in the right position. He's not the most over-aggressive driver out there. And he just knows how to use the draft to his advantage and use his teammates as well. He's got Keselowski. He's got his four teammate in Keselowski that does a lot of the pushing. He's got his four teammate in Logano that does a lot of the leading. I think that Blaney puts himself in the right position at the right time to at least be in contention late on and at least maybe win a stage or something like that and get a lot of stage points because he doesn't ride around in the back. He's a guy that always runs up front and at least makes it out of there with some points. So Ryan Blaney is my first pick.
Yeah, that's a easy first pick in my opinion. I think he's the most consistent super speedway racer in the Cup Series. Yeah. He's shown an ability to win these races in different ways or be in the mix in different ways. He led 118 laps at the 2018 Daytona 500, but has also been in the mix leading one or two laps. And I think the big factor there is that for Ford, they like to control the race. And that usually
means
the Penske guys up at the front.
At green flag pit stops too. Ford is by far the best when it comes to execution of that. They always play it long and it always pays off. They do it so well. And that's a huge part. There's going to be a green flag pit stop. Usually there tends to be at least one cycle of green flag pit stops in the Daytona 500. And Ford always ends up putting themselves in the best position near the end of the race. So that's another reason too.
Yeah. Just a overall superb team that has the speed, has the organization, has the strategy, has the driver. And yeah, it just feels inevitable that he's eventually going to get one of these Daytona 500 crowns. He has two runner-up finishes at the Daytona 500, and that's not even including last year where he was essentially the runner-up when he got walled by his teammate. And that could be another factor to maybe make him a little bit more selfish this time around. So we'll see how that goes. But absolutely love the Ryan Blaney shout at first overall. Number two, we'll keep it in the Penske stable because I'm taking Joey Logano second overall. For the sheer fact of he's guaranteed points.
Almost guaranteed a stage win. It's crazy. He always wins a freaking stage.
Over the last six Daytona races, he's picked up over 30 points four times. And that's despite not finishing in the top 10 in any of those races.
Yeah.
You have to go back to 2019 for Joey Logano's last top 10 finish at Daytona. Since 2020, it's been 26th, 27th, 12th, 23rd, 21st, and 12th. And despite that, he still ranks number six in average points per Daytona race since 2020. Just looking at that consistent ability to pick up stage points and have guaranteed points is such a big factor in these fantasy type decisions, because you can have a guy that you really like that maybe sits back and gets the really good finish. But if they don't get that good finish and they wreck out in the third stage and they don't have those stage points, well, then all of a sudden you're looking at like a 5 to 10 point day for that driver versus Joey Logano, who you know is going to be up at the front contending for those stage points, contending for those stage wins. And if he does wreck out, well, then you feel pretty good about his ability to have picked up at least a handful of points. He's shown an ability to do that, especially at Daytona. That makes him the second overall pick for myself. Number three, going to somebody that I think is a little bit underrated in the super speedway game, and especially at Daytona, and that's Bubba Wallace for my third overall pick here. Among drivers that have raced all six Daytona races since 2020, no driver has picked up as many points as Bubba Wallace at Daytona, which I think surprises some people, because you think to his win and his home track at Talladega, and immediately you might think that that is his better statistical track of the super speedways, but it's actually Daytona that's been his better statistical track of the two. He has a couple of runner-up finishes, or he has a couple of top fives there at the Daytona 500. Yep.
I think he finished second to Hamlin.
You think I'd have the stat off the top of my head.
I'm pretty sure he did because he went in there. He was crying because he finished second at post-race. Yeah. Like he was like so close. And then last year, he obviously finished second too.
Yeah, which makes it three overall runner-up finishes at Daytona. If you include the 2021 regular season finale, I believe it was, when Buescher got DQ'd there. But for Bubba Wallace, it's been consistent points and consistent finishes at Daytona. Over the past five Daytona races, the least amount of points he's picked up is 32. It's just been consistent points, consistent finishes. He's shown an ability to avoid the mid-race crashes as well. I really like Bubba Wallace as a quickly rising super speedway threat, not just a threat, but arguably one of the top two, three guys in the field on super speedway. So he is my third overall pick here.
Good picks, Kyle. Good picks. Can't go wrong with that. 4-5 wrap.
The big
good
one.
Names. Big names here. I got to hit. I have to hit on both of these for me to have a chance to compete with
Logano.
Yeah,
I hope they hit
Bubba,
the wall.
Like.
Am I right? Ayo.
I don't chew. Oh, that's a zinger. God, we're lame.
You're lame. I'm hilarious.
For my fourth pick, I didn't even deny that. You see that? I'm just...
Like, I'm trying to get you off your game.
Yeah. For my fourth selection, I will be taking none other than NASCAR's most popular driver, Chase Elliott, with the number fourth pick. Feels like it's around the corner that he'll win one of these things. Maybe this is his year. I picked him last year to win the 500. I had a feeling about him. He was in contention there late, but didn't quite pull it through. So the fact that they went with more of a downforce kind of setup, giving a little bit more handling based off of their qualifying speed, I think could pay dividends compared to his Hendrick teammates. But other than that, I think that this is a race that Chase Elliott is destined to win at some point. Maybe this is his year. Just at Daytona recently, he's got four top tens in his last six starts. So he's been really, really good in both the, with both the summer and the Daytona 500. So watch out for him.
And just on that note, that was an active four race top 10 streak until he got caught up in that, fall race with the rain, all that kind of stuff. So if not for that, he could have very well had an active five race top 10 streak going into this Daytona 500, which it's hard enough to do two top 10s back to back, let alone four like he did. So great shout there.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate it. Numero five. Goodness gracious. It's a big name right here. I can't let him slide to you next. Denny Hamlin. When you win three Daytona 500s, he said it on his podcast, you can win one by luck, but you can't win more than one by luck. And the fact that he has had three, at least two of those have taken skill by his definition. So I think Denny Hamlin has always been a guy that you have to watch out for the super speedways. Was decent last year. Didn't quite have the same domination or that wow factor that we saw in the previous generation of car. A year under his belt, I think he will have figured it out a little bit better. And he is the one guy that you can count on when it's single file up against the wall, will continue to try and learn and try and make that next move, no matter how far back he is in line. He experiments a lot. He's not willing to, he's not afraid to make mistakes and fall back to the end of the line and try it again, because people, I think he's built up a trust with his competitors that if you stick with me, like I'll get you to the front kind of thing. And that can go a long way, even though Toyota is outnumbered by a lot compared to the Chevys and Fords. Hamlin is almost an equalizer in a lot of ways. So I think that he's a clear shout to go out there and get his fourth Daytona 500. I think that's a bit of a strong ask, but he's putting himself in unprecedented company if he's able to accomplish that. So watch out for the number 11. And that's my number five.
Yeah. I was really hoping one of those two would get to me. I'm not surprised that you scooped them both up. And your lineup's looking very formidable there with Blaney, Elliott, and Hamlin. That's
big names though.
That's pretty spicy. The thing.
So yeah, now I'm like, do I take a bit more conservative approach in the next two? Who knows?
I don't know. Well, you have to have them available to even have that.
Very curious where you go here. It's a definitive turning point.
I will say I'm curious where I go to. Mm-hmm. Number six overall. We're getting a little bit risky on this one.
Yeah.
I will take the defending Daytona 500 champion, Austin Cindric, sixth overall.
He's been Austin good Cindric down there.
Had some pretty solid runs in the Xfinity Series on Super Speedways, despite being at that manufacturer disadvantage in that series with Ford, basically having one to two other guys to work with. And that's translated so far to his Cup Series career. In his Daytona 500 debut, which wasn't last season in 2021, he finished just outside the top 10, had 28 points in that race, had a pretty solid run. And then last year, obviously won the Daytona 500 with 45 points, and then was one of the few guys that actually finished the race in the regular season finale and picked up a top 10 there as well, to have 34 points. So just looking over all the guys in the Cup Series that have run Daytona races over the past 6 years, it's actually Cindric that has the best average points haul out of all of those. Interesting. It's a little bit skewed, obviously, because three races versus six, that's a big swing in Daytona races and stuff. But we're talking about an average of just under 36 points for Austin Cindric, with 34 points and 45 points last year, and then his debut picking up 28. So that's all well and good, but it's the big factor of being one of those Penske cars that'll be up at the front, that have just an unbelievable ability to work together to get to the finish and do something good at the finish. And we saw last year, Cindric is able to go out and take that lead, control the race, and go out and do it. We saw in the duel, Austin Cindric was right there up at the front. He made a block, probably the wrong decision, but he still got up there, had a solid finish in the duel. I really like Austin Cindric's ability that he's shown on super speedways, particularly at Daytona, because as much as we talk about Talladega Daytona as the super speedway races, and it's very similar, there are some big differences between the two races and how you can race them.
Yeah,
I really like Cindric at this super speedway in particular. And if Cindric is to go back to the playoffs, he probably has to win a race. And his best bets are on the super speedways and on the road courses. And there's a lot of great racers on the road courses as well. This is going to be one of his big chances to try and book his ticket to the playoffs. And I think we could see a really solid day out of Austin Cindric once again at the Daytona 500. So that's my number six pick there. And number seven, which means I have two available slots left. And I got to try and think of who you might take for the 8-9 and see who I can get 10th overall. Which is tough, because I think I'm going to take a swing on a guy who hasn't been in the Cup Series for a little bit, at least at Daytona in particular. And I think we could see have a really, really strong performance, because going into this race, he has an active four race top 10 streak at Daytona, and that's AJ Allmendinger. I will take with my fourth pick. And what is that? Seventh overall.
Yes.
Colleague Racing didn't make the show with their final car, but I don't think that really matters all that much in terms of what they'll actually do in the big race. AJ has shown a really, really stout ability to go out and be in the mix in these super speedway races. We saw it time and time again in the Xfinity series. And it's been so long that I think people forget. But at the end of his Cup Series career, he was one of the legit threats to upset the field at these super speedways. And like I mentioned, he has an active four race top 10 streak at Daytona, finished third in his last race at Daytona in the fall race in 2018, finished 10th in the 2018 Daytona 500, eighth in the 2017 fall race at Daytona, and then third in the 2017 Daytona 500. He hasn't led a lot of laps in that span. He has four total laps led in that span. But given he's running for the full schedule this time around, so he needs those points. He needs to potentially win a race to make it to the playoffs. I really like the thought of not only AJ Allmendinger in this race, but having that teammate of Justin Haley as well that we've seen work so well together. I debated between the two of them because obviously Haley has fantastic results in the Xfinity series on super speedways as well. I lean to the experience of somebody that's been in the Daytona 500 numerous times. And recently at the end of his most recent tenure in the Cup Series, had very strong results at this track. So I will go AJ Allmendinger to round out the 6-7 wrap.
I thought you were leaning another way there for that.
To tee it up in a specific way to make you think I was going a different way.
I thought you were going to his teammate. I'll say that.
Okay.
I thought you were going with that. So I don't think he's a bad bet, but for the number eight selection in the Daytona 500 draft, I am proud to select certified TGF guy, Eric Jones.
All righty.
Mr. Guns N' Roses this weekend.
He's got an appetite for destruction this weekend.
He's always been an underrated super speedway racer, and he won his first race here back under the lights in the summer race back then. So hasn't done anything as of yet with now Legacy Motor Club, but he's come close on the super speedways, more so Talladega than Daytona, but I still like his ability to go out there and finish the race. Daytona stats may say otherwise, hasn't really had a great stretch as of late, but I think this is a rejuvenated team now with an investor now with Jimmy Johnson. a two-time Daytona 500 champion as well. I think that can only bode well for him to have that little bit of knowledge and experience, at least as a bit of a mentor, if you will, going into a race like this. And Erik Jones is someone we love on this show. He's beloved.
Yeah,
and,
we do.
Super highly rated amongst us. And I think a lot of fans as well, thinking that he could be a guy that could be in more top tier equipment, but he's a good guy to try and lead a team like this to get to that next level. And I think it starts off with a very good run in the opening race of the year, the Daytona 500. So Erik Jones goes number 8.
Just quickly on Erik Jones, I like his super speedway ability as well, but the last time he did finish in the top 10 at a Daytona race was 2019. It's been a while. Maybe the luck turns around.
Can't be bad forever.
That is an excellent point at Daytona. You can only look at the stats for so long. But it does scare me a little bit.
The numbers are not on my side as of late, but
he's shown an ability for improvement.
Yep. He can only go up from there. That's how I'm looking at it.
Well,
realistically,
it could be William Byron's stats. So
true. Guys, if there is a
awesome super speedway racer who has just the worst luck.
If there is a prop bet on who's the first one to get turned or wrecked, William Byron is the play, 100%. Yeah. Like, I'll tell you, him and Kyle Busch have the worst luck. It's unmatched. It's insane. But for the magic number 9, as it turned out to be last year when we did the draft,
it's a pretty big pick. Daytona 500 winner will be.
It's a crucial pick. There's two guys that I'm looking at for this. I'll say them because I'm not afraid. If you want to take the next guy, you got the last pick. It is none other than Mr. Consistent himself, Michael McDowell, or Kyle Rowdy Busch.
Okay.
Because I am intrigued on how he will do in a Chevrolet this time around. I'd like that he'll have a little bit more partners to tango with in the draft, but also I swear Michael McDowell is in the top 10 at the every single end of these races in the Daytona 500.
I was going to say specifically the Daytona 500 because he always wrecks out in the every summer race.
And then you think
every time,
oh yeah, he did so well at Daytona. Let's pick him. And then he's gone.
Nope.
He's off the board. He's
it's always
out.
The 500. Yep.
30th or worse. I will personally take Michael McDowell to round out my lineup. I will go against the grain on heart over mind. I think Kyle Busch could go out there and win this race, but I'm thinking if you were going to take somebody, I think Michael McDowell could have been on your radar potentially. So I will cover my bases. I went pretty heavy with my front three with superstars, and then I'm going with two guys that I think have a bit of a record of doing well on super speedways in their past. So Michael McDowell rounds out my draft lineup for the Daytona 500.
Hard to dislike that pick. I mean, he's won the 500. He's always in the mix. And it is funny seeing the Daytona split specifically and looking at the difference between his 500 results and his summer results. Final pick.
Yeah, you get the honors.
I will be honest. I was hoping you were going to take Kyle Busch to make my decision easier because I am contemplating Kyle Busch and Ryan Preece. Those are the two that I'm going between. Kyle Busch finished top 10 at both Daytona races last year and is going to a new team in Chevrolet. Obviously a bad fast car that he doesn't get to use anymore. And had he not wrecked out, I think you already would have been drafted. Am I wrong in that?
Yeah. I would have drafted him instead of Erik Jones.
You wouldn't have had the chance because I would have taken him in the 6-7 split.
Really?
Had he not wrecked out.
Oh, but wow.
Because of the results last year and the difference in the car at the track, looking good, all that stuff, I liked the momentum until he got turned. And that scares me. Going to the backup car. and I wrote about the guy. So I have to take
it. I will say this would have been the first time in our draft that you would have had the honor of taking Kyle Busch. I've taken him basically every race last year during the playoffs.
It worked out so well for you.
Every single time. So you have the honor, but go ahead.
Yep. I could end that streak, but I'm not going to because I wrote about the guy, so I have to take him. And it's Ryan Preece. This guy, very underrated super speedway racer because it's been a year since he's been in the Cup Series. I think people forget just how strong he was at the end of his JTG tenure at the super speedways. He was a consistent threat at these races. Specifically, last time out in 2021, he finished top 10 in both of those Daytona races, almost finishing top five in both of those races, sixth in the 2021 Daytona 500, and then fourth at the summer regular season finale.
Is he the modern day Ryan Newman?
I mean, same name. So there's that. The stretch before that wasn't as great. He crashed out in three straight races from the 2019 summer race through the 2020 summer race. But in his Daytona 500 debut in 2019, he had a very strong run in that race and finished top 10. So out of the two out of the three Daytona 500s that he's finished top 10. Or sorry, I should say in each of the Daytona 500s that he's finished top 10. He's wrecked out in one of those. So when he's finishing these races, he's finishing in the top 10. If he's crashing out, then obviously he's crashed out. Because of that, I like his ability with the Ford group as well, which we've seen the Stuart Haases and the Penske's and the front rows and everything work very, very strong at these races. We saw Preece do some decent pushing and stuff in the duel as well. I think that there's some potential for him to carry his momentum from the Clash into this Daytona 500 and maybe have a surprising showing in the 500 if he's able to get to the end of the race. Because as he's shown his entire Daytona career, if he finishes the race, it's going to be inside the top 10. And for that reason, I like his points upside. I don't know if he'll get the stage points and stuff like that. I think he could be a guy that tries to just get to the end and see what happens at the end, because I don't think Ryan Preece is a guy that's going to be necessarily pointing his way into a playoff spot unless things have a really, really solid season for him. But taking into account his past at Daytona, the upside of the Ford group as well, and his new ride there, I just kind of like the momentum they've got going on. So Ryan Preece is going to be my final pick here, and I think he's a legitimate threat to potentially upset the field here in the 2023 Daytona 500.
I like it. I like the little bit of an underdog story there. People will, no one in the media, no one will talk about Ryan Preece, but on this show,
you get some Ryan Preece love. I mean, I am the media technically now, so.
We are, I think we are basically, so maybe, I guess.
Okay, here's my determination. The stuff we do on this show isn't mainstream media, but the stuff that we do for like our employers is mainstream media. So technically, at least one mainstream media is talking about Ryan Preece because I wrote about it. So
I'll just do a tweet right now. Just Ryan Preece. That's it.
Do it. Ryan Preece dot send tweet.
Send tweet.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah. That'll go over well.
Why? What's nothing this? Wrong with that.
What's this all about? What's that? Why are we not on linear? Oh, sorry.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'll quote tweet my article and just say Ryan Preece.
Okay. That's fair. And then I'm going to comment, what is this?
Ryan Preece dot tweet. There we go.
Overlay tweet on video. So people
even
can
though,
see.
Even though the main photo that the Score account picked was Bubba Wallace for obvious reasons. So.
Alrighty. Boy.
That's a fun little draft there. My team, and you can run through your team if you want. Would you like to start? Because you had the first
overall
pick.
I'll go first because of the first. Yep. Yeah. First, I picked Ryan Blaney. Second, Denny Hamlin. Third, I picked Chase Elliott. My fourth pick was Eric Jones. And to round it out was Michael McDowell.
On the other side of the draft, I took Joey Logano, Bubba Wallace, Austin Cindric, AJ Allmendinger, and Ryan Preece. So I think these are pretty even matchups. I really like the top end of your draft more than mine. because you've got Blaney, Elliott, Hamlin, who I think are three of the top four or five guys that can go out and win this race.
Yeah.
I like the depth of mine a little bit more. I think that there's a little bit more upside or consistency in Cindric, Allmendinger, and Priest versus Jones, McDowell. We'll see how things play out, but I think that this is a really, really fun matchup that could come down to one or two points here.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope we're trying to scramble and crunch the numbers late on, trying to add up stage points if people are in the running there. But then, you know, coming out of four, they could all wreck. So,
oh yeah,
who knows? Let's do the winner picks.
I was hoping you would forget about this part.
Oh, I have it written down. Man. I have it written down. Xfinity first.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or should I go first?
Dealer's choice.
I'll go first for this one, okay, since I had it a little bit more prepared. My pick to win the, what's it called? Oh my God. I'm going to.
What a start. What's it called?
It's a funny name. Beef. It's What's for Dinner 300.
Oh dear Lord.
That's a catchy title, ain't it? My pick to win on Saturday to open up the Xfinity Series season is Justin Haley in the number 10. I think that he goes out there and schools the regulars. He's so good at Daytona in the Xfinity car specifically. Was a guy I was looking at for the Cup Series draft that we just did, but I will take Justin Haley to upset the full-timers on Saturday.
Is it an upset if it's the Cup Series guy?
It's upsetting at least the full-time guys.
I know wouldn't say it's an upset. I know what you mean.
Don't.
That's boring.
I hope you pick one guy right now. I really want you to pick one guy.
Picking the Cup Series guy, going down to the Xfinity field, come on.
Do you want me to change it? I can change it if you want.
No. I'm teeing up my pick.
Oh, I hope it is who I think.
Because you went boring with it. Yeah. So I'm going balls to the wall. Why not?
Come on.
Big Machine Racing is going to the victory lane. Parker Kligerman is going
to
win.
I wanted you to do it. I wanted you to pick him. That's why I didn't.
RCR Alliance, that team has Austin Hill and Sheldon Creed there, who obviously
Austin Hill is probably
the best full-time super speedway racer in the Xfinity Series right now. Yeah. With AJ and Justin Haley not there anymore and stuff like that, I think that he's pretty clearly the number one guy in that field now. Mm-hmm. Sheldon Creed, nothing to scoff at super speedways as well.
Mm-hmm.
If Parker Kligerman is legit working as like a third RCR car in this race, I think he's got a legit shot to win.
Yeah. I agree.
He's consistently been good when he's made the field at Daytona. Finished fifth in last year's Truck Series race with Henderson Motorsports. Had a third way back in the day in the 92 truck as well. And of course, with Kyle Busch Motorsports in the number 77, he had a fifth place way back in 10 years ago in 2013. Yeah. So I'll say
PK in the past.
Gets it done in the season opener. Why not?
Pressure's on him in this kind of a race. Like, this is his best shot to win anything. So
it's definitely one of his best shots. Yeah. I think he can go out and have some really solid runs depending on what kind of equipment Big Machine Racing actually is this year. I don't know if they'll be like the Tyler Reddick winning type car or further down the grid or what they'll bring to the table. But it's going to be tough to overlook these super speedway races.
All right.
A big one.
Daytona 500 winner. Who's locked into the playoffs after race one? You go first for this one.
The 2023 Daytona 500 winner.
Getting the 75th Diamond Anniversary season off to a win, too. It's a big stakes.
Will be arguably the most historic Daytona 500 winner of all time. Bubba Wallace goes to victory lane on Sunday. Wow.
Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, it would.
It'd be pretty special. Starts 15th on Sunday, so doesn't have that far to go to get to the front. My pick for the 65th running of the Daytona 500 is Ryan Blaney. I think that he does it. I think this is his year. And that is it. Our picks are in for the 65th Daytona 500. Any final thoughts, Kyle, before we go in and start another year?
I am pumped for this season. It's going to be a lot of fun. All year long, seeing all these different storylines, whether it's driver movement and seeing how those drivers do in their respective new rides, whether it's overall and looking to see how much of the parity from last year continues over to this year, if there's any drivers or teams that kind of rise to the top and stuff like that. And I think it all starts with what happens in the Daytona 500. In back-to-back years, we've had an upset winner in the 500 with Austin Cindric last year, Michael McDowell the year previous. Both of those drivers don't make the playoffs if they don't win the season opening race.
A lot of stakes.
That is how much that not only the Daytona 500 matters to these individual drivers, but also to these underdog guys that are looking to book their ticket to the playoffs. For a lot of these guys, they have five chances to make the playoffs. The two Atlanta races, the two Daytona races, and Talladega. The first one is obviously the biggest one in the Daytona 500. It's going to be a lot of fun to see if anyone can pull off that upset and book their ticket to the postseason out of the gate, or if we'll see one of the big dogs come through and kind of take back their crown. I think one of the other big storylines that has kind of been underrated in recent years is that Hendrick Motorsports is in quite a big drought of the Daytona 500. Their last champion of the race was Dale Earnhardt Jr. in 2014. It's the longest drought of Hendrick Motorsports' history at the Daytona 500 now of nine races. If they won
two consecutive years there with Jimmy and Junior then, and then they haven't won since.
And not only that, their next Daytona 500 win matches them as the winningest organization at the race with Petty Enterprises. So there's a lot riding for whatever Hendrick driver breaks through. All four of them are legit contenders this weekend. Kyle Larson is the one that kind of drops off of the most, but he's had a couple of really solid Daytona 500 finishes. Chase Elliott's obviously the biggest threat to go out and win the race. William Byron, if he can get an ounce of luck at a Daytona 500, will be up there contending for the win. And Alex Bowman has the fastest car in the field, and you can never underrate that. So a lot of storylines riding into this weekend. This season as a whole, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Are you anticipating a wreck fest, or do you think we're going to get a little bit cleaner race?
I think we will have a clean race until the third stage starts. And at that point, I think we're going to see some of the calamity.
Okay. What do you think is a good over under for cars that will finish the race? 21 and a half.
I was going to set it at like 16 and a half.
Okay. Let's
lead lap finishers.
Lead lap finishers.
Yeah.
16 and a half. I'll take the over on that.
I'll take the under.
Okay. Good little side bet.
Clearly, it's a good line if we differ. I think that there's going to be one big wreck that takes out a decent amount of people, and then I think that there's going to be a couple of those late race wrecks that take out a couple more.
Over under 10 toe links that are broken.
Oh, my God. You can set a toe link over under at any track at like 100 this season, and I'm always taking the over. Because it seems like the cars that finish the race have a broken toe, like, anyways.
I know. They're all going to be waddling down the road. But, anyways, fun little thing to end the show. But looking forward to another season. It's going to be a fun one. Lots of new storylines.
Yeah, it is.
Big names in new places. Got some good rookies this year. So if you haven't already checked out our preseason episode, please do. We have all of our predictions there that will be totally, totally wrong. But
it's a good plug. Get people to watch it. Yeah, we'll be totally wrong. You should watch it.
So do the opposite, essentially. We do it for you so you don't have to. And it's a fun one. So go check it out. But make sure to like and subscribe. Follow us on all of our social channels. The links are in the description. We're on TikTok and Instagram.
Just before we head out, because it is the first race of the season, tell the people what you got going on for this weekend on the TSN side of stuff.
Yeah, NASCAR on TSN is back again. Looking forward to another full season like we had last year. Xfinity coverage, as always, on the Saturday. We're going to be live clipping that. Try and get some good stuff up on the page. Try and beat Fox in the early part of the year. Try and beat NBC later on in the year with getting those highlights up. Get that engagement up. So make sure to follow NASCAR on TSN for your Xfinity stuff, but also your Cup Series stuff, of course. Every single race we'll have on TSN this season, and we have TSN Plus now. So if you want to watch practice and qualifying, That will be on select weekends as well, as far as I understand it. May not be every weekend, but we will have it on there as often as we can. And we'll see how that all transpires. So make sure you go check out TSN Plus. And I'm not paid to say that. I'm paid to work
for
them.
You're paid a little bit to say that.
But I'm not paid specifically to say
it on the show.
Yeah, exactly. But nice little plug there. So NASCAR on TSN, going to be a fun one. Hopefully we can go to another race again this year, like we did for Phoenix. We'll see. Nothing even close to finalized on that. Kyle, tell us, the people, what you got going on with the score this season.
Yeah, that's a fun new one. So this season, each week before, on the Thursday before every race, I'll be having a bit of a race preview. So a little bit of what you get on the show, but in written form, and a little bit more the stats, data, and stuff to back up some of the picks. So four drivers every week to go into your race weekend. So be sure to check that one out. Already the Daytona 500 preview is up. Go check that out in the app.
Absolutely. So for this episode, I've been Lucas Wacker. He's been Kyle Cushman. Signing off for now. Enjoy Daytona 500 weekend, everybody. We will talk to you next week to preview the final race on the 2 Mile at Auto Club. Talk to you later.